Banquet of the Ten Virgins by St. Methodius. Discourse 11, Part 2. Chapter 3. Dialogue between Eubolias and Gregorian. Which are the better, the continent, or those who delight in tranquility of life? Contests the peril of chastity, the felicity of tranquility. Purified and tranquil minds are gods, those who shall see God. Virtue disciplined by temptations. Eubolias. Deservedly, O Gregorian, has Thecla borne off the chief prize. Deservedly indeed. But what about the stranger, Telmisiake? Tell me, was she not listening from without? I wonder if she could keep silence on hearing of this banquet, and would not forthwith, as a bird flies to its food, listen to the things which were spoken. The report is that she was present with Methodios when he inquired respecting these things from Arete. But it is a good as well as a happy thing to have such a mistress and guide as Arete, that is, virtue. But Gregorian, which shall we say are the better? Those who, without lust, govern concupiscence, or those who, under the assaults of concupiscence, still continue pure? For my part, I think those who are free from lust, for they have their mind undefiled, and are altogether uncorrupted, sinning in no respect. Well, I swear by chastity, and wisely, O Gregorian. But lest in any wise I hinder you, if I gainsay your words, it is that I may the better learn, and that no one hereafter may refute me. Gainsay me as you will. You have my permission. For, Eubolios, I think that I know sufficient to teach you that he who is not concupiscent is better than he who is. If I cannot, then there is no one who can convince you. Bless me! I am glad that you answer me so magnanimously, and show how wealthy you are as regards wisdom. A mere chatterer, so you seem to be, O Eubolias. Why so? Because you ask rather for the sake of amusement than truth. Speak fair, I pray you, my good friend, for I greatly admire your wisdom and renown. I say this because, with reference to the things that many wise men often dispute among themselves, you say that you not only understand them, but also vaunt that you can teach another. Now, tell me truly whether it is a difficulty with you to receive the opinion that they who are not concupiscent excel those who are concupiscent, and yet restrain themselves? Or are you joking? How so, when I tell you that I do not know? But come, tell me, O wisest lady, in what do the non-concupiscent and chaste excel the concupiscent who live chastely? Because, in the first place, they have the soul itself pure, and the Holy Spirit always dwells in it, seeing that it is not distracted and disturbed by fancies and unrestrained thoughts, so as to pollute the mind. But they are in every way inaccessible to lust, both as to their flesh and to their heart, enjoying tranquillity from passions. But they who are allured from without, through the sense of sight, with fancies, and receiving lust flowing like a stream into the heart, are often not less polluted, even when they think that they contend and fight against pleasures, being vanquished in their mind. Shall we then say that they who serenely live and are not disturbed by lusts are pure? Certainly, for these are they whom God makes gods in the Beatitudes, they who believe in him without doubt. And he says that they shall look upon God with confidence, because they bring in nothing that darkens or confuses the eye of the soul for the beholding of God. But all desire of secular things being eliminated, they not only, as I said, preserve the flesh pure from carnal connection, but even the heart, in which especially, as in a temple, the Holy Spirit rests and dwells. It is open to no unclean thoughts. Stay now, for I think that from here on we shall the better go on to the discovery of what things truly are the best. And tell me, do you call anyone a good steersman?
I certainly do.
Is it he that saves his vessel in great and perplexing storms, or is it he who does so in a breathless calm?
He that does so in a great and perplexing storm.
Shall we not then say that the soul, which is deluged with the surging waves of the passions, and yet does not on that account weary or grow faint, but directs her vessel, that is, the flesh, nobly into the port of chastity, is better and more estimable than he who navigates in calm weather?
We will say so.
For to be prepared against the entrance of the gales of the evil spirit, and not to be cast away or overcome, but to refer all to Christ, and strongly to contend against pleasures, brings greater praise than he wins who lives a virgin life calmly and with ease.
It appears so.
And what says the Lord? Does he not seem to show that he who retains continence, though concupiscent, excels him who having no concupiscence and leads a virgin life?
Where does he say so?
Where, comparing a wise man to a house well founded, he declares him immovable, because he cannot be overthrown by rains and floods and winds. Likening, as it would seem, these storms to lusts, but the immovable and unshaken firmness of the soul in chastity to the rock.
You appear to speak what is true.
And what say you of the physician? Do you not call him the best, who has been proved in great diseases, and has healed many patients?
I do.
But the one who has never at any time practiced, nor ever had the sick in his hands, is he not still, in all respects, the inferior?
Yes.
Then we may certainly say that a soul which is contained by a concupiscent body, and which appeases with the medicines of temperance the disorders arising from the heat of lusts, carries off the palm for healing over one whose lot it has fallen to govern aright a body which is free from lust.
It must be allowed.
And how is it in wrestling? Is the better wrestler he who has many and strong antagonists, and continually is contending without being beaten, or he who has no opponents?
It must be granted.
Therefore it is clear that he whose soul contends against the impulses of lust, and is not borne down by it, but draws back, and sets himself in ranks against it, appears stronger than he who does not lust.
True.
What then? Does it not appear to you, Grigorian, that there is more courage in being valiant against the assaults of base desires?
Yes, indeed.
Is not this courage the strength of virtue?
Plainly so.
Therefore, if endurance be the strength of virtue, is not the soul which is troubled by lusts and yet perseveres against them stronger than that which is not so troubled?
Yes.
And if stronger, then better?
Truly.
Therefore, the soul which is concupiscence and exercises self-control, as appears from what has been said, is better than that which is not concupiscent and exercises self-control.
You speak truly, and I shall desire still more fully to discourse with you concerning these things. If, therefore, it pleases you, tomorrow I will come again to hear respecting them. Now, however, as you see, it is time to betake ourselves to the care of the outward man. End of Discourse 11. End of Banquet of the 10 Virgins by St. Methodius.